Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke, chapter 16. We'll read verses 27 through 31 together. We'll read this passage responsively together. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And let's finish on verse 31 together. Ready? And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us in this place already today. Father, the excitement and the just your presence of being here is amazing. Now, Father, we're a needy people. We need you. We need you like we've never needed you before. There's a lost and dying world out there that is headed for hell. Fill our preacher with your power, please. Fill us with your power as we listen in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I sat there in amazement while the girls were singing. I did not know what song they would sing today. They did not know what sermon I would preach today. The title of my sermon is Believe the Miracle You Have. Believe the miracle that you have. We're going to have our very own miracle service right here today at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Now, I'm not like Benny Hinn. I am henpecked. But that's okay if you've got the right hen. I like fried chicken. I don't know if that has anything to do with Benny Hinn or not. I am not a Pentecostal. I'm not a Pentecostal preacher. But I do believe in Acts chapter 3 and the great occurrence of the day of Pentecost. I'm not a faith healer, but I do believe that God is a healer. And I believe that our faith is a part of that healing plan. We're not going to have a healing line today. We're not going to have a Congo line today. We're not going to have a country music line, dancing line today. We're just going to throw out the old lifeline and see what God would do. I have not had a vision in the night. If ever I do, it will be due to anchovies on my pizza. I want to preach to you today a sermon entitled, Believe the Miracle That You Have. If you'll listen to me today, I can help some of you. Some of you say, I need a miracle in my life. You up against it, you say, there's nothing that I can do about my situation, and therefore, I need divine intervention from God. And young people, you say, well, how could it ever be that way for anybody? Well, I'll guarantee you, young people, the day will come when you realize your hands are tied, there's nothing you can do unless God intervenes, nothing will be done. And I believe our God is a miracle-working God. But listen to the logic and listen to the practicality of the sermon today, believe the miracle that you have. We read just a moment ago in Luke chapter number 16. The story here is about a rich man and a beggar. A rich man died. And when that rich man died, he, the Bible says, lifted up his eyes and he was in hell. In hell, the rich man begins to make a request. He said, I've got some brothers back there on earth, and I want somebody to go witness to them, because he didn't want his brothers to come to the same place that he had found himself. He had rejected Jesus Christ. Now he's in hell. He says, please, send someone. This is the verse it says. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify of them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Then Abraham turns to the rich man that is now burning in hell, and Abraham saith this. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them, hear them. So the rich man is in hell. He's burning. He presents a request that someone go back and tell his brothers so that they don't wind up in hell. Abraham says this. They have Moses and the prophets. Now, what exactly is Abraham saying? Abraham is saying they have the Word of God. They have the Word of God. That will do. Your brothers don't need someone to go back from the grave. They need someone that will just, that they've got the Word of God. They just need someone to present to them the Word of God. The rich man then says this. He says, and he say, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said, send someone from the dead. Send someone that's already died. Send them back to my brothers, because if they see this guy come back from the dead, they're going to get saved. Then Abraham said this in verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You see, the rich man says, send somebody back from the dead. Abraham said, no, they've got the Bible. That's what they need. They need to believe the Bible. He comes along and he says, no, if you send somebody from the dead, then they'll get saved. He turns around and again, and Abraham says, no, they've got the Bible. And if they're not going to believe the Bible, they're not going to believe some strange miracle of someone coming back from the dead. You see, what Abraham was saying is, the Word of God is a greater miracle than someone raising from the dead. Do you understand the book that you have there in your lap? You hold in your lap the miracle book. It is the miracle book. It is the miracle book written by the miracle God. I've got my King James Bible right here. This is the only book ever written by the God of the universe. If you have one, hold it up there. Let me see it for a second. Let me tell you where a lot of churches are going wrong today. A lot of churches are going wrong because they've not stuck to the old time way. They've not stuck to the book. You may put the book down. You hold in your lap. You hold in your hand the miracle book. They needed to believe what the Bible said. But the rich man said, please send someone back from the dead, and that would persuade my brothers. And Abraham said, what will persuade your brothers is a belief in the Word of God. He was saying, they have Moses and the prophets. What were they talking about? The Old Testament scriptures. Abraham was saying, if they're not going to believe the Word of God, a miracle's not going to do them any good. And if they really want something from God, let them believe the miracle they already have. What miracle is that? The miracle of the Word of God. They needed to believe the miracle that they already had. Hey, listen, believe what you have. You say, what do I have? You have a miracle book there. It's time for some of you to start believing this book for what it really is. It's the miracle book of God. Do you believe the book that you have? Do you believe the miracle that God has made available to you? You know, I wonder, would have you believed that Jesus fed 5,000 people from one boy's lunch? Now, the Bible tells that story. The Bible tells a story about Jesus feeding 5,000 men and their families by borrowing one little boy's lunch. And he begins to distribute that lunch. The story's found in John chapter 6. We won't turn to it today. But here's what's happening. Jesus had healed some people, and some others had come his way. A great crowd had gathered. The Bible says 5,000 men. That's not counting the women and the children. And they were hungry. And these people needed to eat. And the apostles, the disciples, the people there, they got to talking among themselves. How in the world are we going to feed all of these people? Well, there was a little boy. He had a sack lunch. And maybe his mama had fixed it for him that morning. The Bible says that in that lunch there were 5 barley loaves and a couple pieces of fish, or 2 small fish. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ got that little sack lunch from that little boy. The Bible says that he wanted to feed that multitude of people. And I don't mean just 5,000. Probably there were 10,000 plus people there, because they only counted the men. And so here he's got this lunch, and Jesus is about to feed 5,000. Jesus looks in there. I think he's seen what he was up against. He looked in there. There are 5 little loaves of bread. There are 2 little fish. He looked in there, and he said, well, doesn't look like there's enough in here to feed 10,000 people. We're going to have to do something about this. So you know what he did? He called on a miracle-working God, and he said, oh, God, please, I need to feed these people. Would you help me to feed these people? The Bible says that he blessed the bread. He began to break the bread. He pulled one of those loaves out. He started tearing it apart to give everybody a couple pieces of bread, slap a piece of fish in between it. You got a McDonald's fish sandwich. He started passing those things out. The Bible says he just kept on sticking his hand in that little bag, and he kept on handing a piece of bread and another 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 piece of bread. Now, it wasn't real thin sliced bread. That's not how he pulled it off. It was bread and fish 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 and fish. And by the time he got finished, everybody there, probably over 10,000 people, had been fed from that one little lunch of 5 barley loaves and a couple small fish. And then when they were finished, the Bible says, he said, okay, everybody that's been helping me pass out bread, everybody that's got any bread or fish left over, bring it over here to me. They brought it over, and the Bible says they filled 12 baskets full of leftovers. I always like this part of the story. Somebody asked me once, oh, what do you think they did with those leftovers? I think they took the leftovers, put it on the little red wagon of the little boy that had shared his lunch, and he took it home to his mama. Can you imagine him explaining to mama where he got it all? Oh, really, mama? I'm serious. This is from my lunch from this morning. Oh, Johnny, I told you not to lie to me. Don't you lie to me. Now, where did you get these 12 baskets full of bread and fish? I'm serious, Mama. A guy named Jesus. I mean, he stuck his hand in your bag and he pulled it out. Mama, I just ran it to you. I can picture it. I can picture it. Hey, I wonder, do you believe the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000? How many of you believe that miracle, the feeding of the 5,000? It's right there in the Bible. You know what? I think this. I doubt that most of you would have really believed that miracle had you been present. I'm wondering if you would have believed it. Why? Well, let me ask you this. Have you stopped to recognize the miracle of the feeding of you? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I believe what the Word of God said. I believe that Jesus fed 5,000 people. Most of you don't stop to appreciate the fact that he fed you Monday morning for breakfast, and then at lunch, and then at supper time, and he did it again on Tuesday. And what a miracle that God of the universe has been feeding you 365 days a year, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 meals a day from the looks of some of you. He's been doing that ever since you were born. Have you stopped to believe the miracle that you have? I have a hard time believing someone would believe a miracle like this, the feeding of 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, if they can't believe the honest, simple, everyday miracle of breakfast. Who do you think gave you your breakfast this morning? Who do you think fed you all the food you've ever had? It's the great God of the universe. You know what happens? When you get cornbread, let me tell you where it comes from. Someone takes one little kernel of corn. They plant that kernel of corn in the ground. The God of the universe multiplies that kernel of corn. A stalk comes up. Little ears pop out. And every one of those ears has more kernels of corn. They let that mature. They take it down to the mill. They grind it, and they make a corn meal. Then they take the corn meal and turn it into cornbread. Then they send it down to Cracker Barrel and feed everybody. And you didn't stop and think when you were down at Cracker Barrel getting your cornbread. You just saw a miracle of the feeding of the billions. Did you recognize that this week? Well, don't you tell me you believe he fed 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish if you can't believe that he fed your fat belly this week. Hey, believe the miracle that you have.
have. The God that fed the 5,000 feeds you every day. Think of the fish. My daddy used to take me to a fishing hole. Just a little old pond. We would go there and we would catch. I don't like going fishing. I like catching fish. I like catching fish. And so, you know, I wasn't trying for the big one to put on the wall. I was trying for anything to get on the hook. I just like to see that bobber drowned, you know. I wanted to go under and bloop, 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 bloop. My dad, we'd go catch what we call bluegill. Bluegill. We'd go catch those bluegill. And I love catching bluegill because they're always there. They're always hungry. They're always willing. It just feels good. I want some fish. We'd go down that little pond and we'd catch bluegill after bluegill after bluegill. We'd come home with a bucket. I'm talking about a pond no bigger than this auditorium. And we would catch bluegill after bluegill. We'd take them home, and it wouldn't long until the bucket wasn't enough, and they'd all be floating at the top. They all went to fishy heaven. They weren't big enough to clean. They're only, you know, real little ones. But boy, I love catching those bluegill. I asked my dad one day, we'd go fishing week after week after week after week after week, and we would catch fish after fish after fish. And I got to thinking about that one day. I wonder where all those fish are coming from. And it occurred to me, what's a miracle? The feeding of the 5,000. Jesus Christ was the one that took the bread, distributed it everywhere, just like he gives you corn or wheat or barley or rye. He multiplies it so you can eat it. It occurred to me one day, every piece of fish I've ever eaten was the very same miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. It was the same God that created the fish that was used that day as when you went down to McDonald's and had you a fish fillet. Hey, it was the very same God that multiplies the beef so you can have you a Big Mac. Who do you think creates all that? Where do you think you got all that? I have a hard time believing that you'll believe in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 if you won't believe the one who gave you the eggs that you had this morning, and you don't believe in the one who gave you the bread that you have that butter on today. I believe that you ought to believe the miracle that you have. But I got to thinking about this a little bit, and I wondered, can you imagine how excited those people were when he fed those 5,000? And you know, if I would have been there after that service, they had a miracle service. They had this a real miracle service. Hey, you want to have a miracle service? Have one at your house. When you go home and eat your food today, stop and thank the God of the universe for what he's done for you. He fed you. He fed the whole world he fed today. What a miracle. What a miracle. What a miracle what God can do. But I can picture someone that watched that happen. I can picture it. I can picture somebody that was there that day. I picture after it's all said and done. I picture someone sticking a piece of bread in their pocket, taking it around and saying, hey, let me tell you, I just came with Jesus. I was with Jesus. Have you heard about it? I was just with Jesus over there, and he took this bread and he started breaking it and feeding it and tasting it. It's good. Did you hear? I'm Eddie. Have you heard about it? I was there. He was taking this bread and breaking it and fishing. It didn't taste fishy. I mean, it was great. And did you hear? Let me ask you a question. When's that last time you got excited about God feeding you? Oh, you want a miracle? You want somebody to slap you on the head, make your right leg as long as your left leg? I'll tell you what miracle you need. There's some of you that need to praise God about the food you ate today. What would happen to a church where the people woke up and when they put the first bite of food in their mouth, they said, wow, my God fed me again. Wow, we throw enough away to feed the rest of the world. We're having a miracle service here today. When you leave this place and you go home and eat your lunch and you put the first bite of food in your mouth, why don't you stop and realize the miracle of God multiplying the beef or God multiplying the chicken or God multiplying the fish or God multiplying the wheat for your bread or God multiplying the cornbread for your corn. Well, why don't you stop and realize the miracle that you have? Stop and realize what God's done for you. Would if you believe it? Would you believe the miracle that God has? Hey, let's start behaving ourselves like people who have received a miracle from God. You have. Believe the miracle you have. Stop and look at your everyday blessings and look at what God's done for you. Believe the miracle that you have. Hey, would you believe that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? In John 11, there's this story. A man by the name of Lazarus had a sister, Mary and Martha. Lazarus was sick unto death. He was dying. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus's. The Bible says this, listen to this. John 11:44 says, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Now here's what happened. Lazarus was in the process of dying. He was very sick. They had called for Jesus to come to the place where he was sick. And Jesus did not get there. The Bible says Jesus waited 2 days. Now, Mary and Martha, their brother was dying, and Lazarus ends up dying. They wound him up in what they would call grave clothes, or they would have like mummified him. They put him in the tomb. Mary and Martha are beside themselves. They're grieving. They're missing Lazarus now. And so now Jesus comes into town. They're upset. They said, "Oh, had you been here, our brother would not have died. He's gone now." The Bible says that Lazarus was in the grave. Jesus went out to the tomb, out where his body was laid, and Jesus said, "Lazarus!" What he did, Jesus called on the God of the universe, and he is about to perform a miracle. A man is dead. He says, "Lazarus, come forth." The Bible says, Lazarus opened up his eyes. He came forth out of that grave. Now, that's a miracle. That really happened. That's not a story. How many of you believe that Lazarus raised from the dead? Raise your hand. Oh, fantastic. Great. That's what the Bible says. But I wonder, do you really believe it? Do you really believe that Lazarus raised from the dead? Have you stopped to believe the miracle that you have? Have you stopped to appreciate that you were once dead in your sins? And when you got born again, you are now alive. You were once dead in your sins. You got born again. You're now alive to live a victorious life. Have you stopped to realize the miracle you have? Hey, guess what? You're looking right now at a walking dead man. I was on my way to hell. I deserved to go to hell. I didn't deserve heaven. I was dead in my sins. I trusted Jesus Christ. He said, "Come forth, Jeff Owens. I stood up, born again, and now I have a victorious life." Let me ask you, do you believe the miracle you have? Do you believe the miracle you have? You were once dead in your sins, born again unto a new life in Christ Jesus. It's time for some of you to start believing the miracle you have. Oh boy, I'll tell you, I can't imagine how excited Lazarus was. I mean, dead, that's kind of permanent, you know? That's a bummer. You know, I believe there's a heaven, but I don't want on the next freight train going there for sure. I want to go to heaven, but not anytime soon. Lazarus had been dead. He'd been in the grave. And Jesus Christ brought him up out of that grave. Can you imagine when he opened his eyes? I mean, he was like Elvis, man. He was out. He was gone. He opened his eyes. He seen his mother-in-law and said, "Oh, I'm in hell." I'll tell you something. When Lazarus stood up and came out of that tomb, I think Lazarus said, "Hey, it's me. I'm alive. Mary, Martha, Jesus, thank you so much. I've got to go tell my friends. I've got to go tell them. But you know, Jesus, I'll tell you what. I'll serve you forever. Anything you want. Nothing's too big. Look what you've done for me. I once was dead, and now I'm alive. I'll do anything. I'll come to church. I won't make up excuses anymore. I'll do anything you want. You want me to change my life? I'm glad. Whatever you want. I'm alive. My wife does not get the insurance money. I'm alive. Look at me." Well, you say, "Sure, Brother Holmes, I raised my hand. I believe that he came up out of that grave." If you're saved, you were once dead in your sins. Now, you're alive. What are you doing with the life he gave you? What kind of excuses do you make up for not serving the one that gave you a miracle? Believe the miracle that you have. Live like you have been given a new lease on life. A dear friend of mine, her name was Marlene Evans. She's the editor of a ladies' newspaper magazine called Christian Womanhood. She struggled with cancer for 18 years of her life. She wrote a book called I'm Gonna Live Until I Die. What she was saying was, God has given me every day that He gives me. I'm going to live every one of them to the fullest. I'm going to enjoy every one of them. I'm not going to let the devil steal 1 minute away from me. My God has spared my life, and I'm not going to waste one little inch of it. I don't care what comes at me. I don't care what burdens I face. I don't care how the devil tries to steal my joy. I'm alive. I'm glad I'm alive, and I'll live every day till the day this cancer takes me. I'll live, and I'll enjoy my God. And there are a whole bunch of you. You say, oh, I believe Lazarus came up from the grave. Hey, you're as much a miracle as Lazarus is if you're a born-again Christian. Now start living your life like you're excited about what God's done for you. Let's behave like people who have received a miracle from God. Hey, have you ever wondered something? I was thinking about this earlier. Why don't they have mouse-flavored cat food? Really? That doesn't have anything to do with the sermon, but that's a good thought. I don't know where that came from. See the spirit moving in this place? As the spirit giveth utterance, I give those jokes. Hey, would you have believed that God healed Naaman, the Old Testament leper, and made his flesh as white as snow? Naaman, you see, was a captain of the Syrian army. He had leprosy. He had gone to the prophet Elisha to be healed. Naaman needed to be healed of his leprosy. Elisha said, you go down and you dunk yourself in the Jordan River. And when you go under that water 7 times, when you come up after the 7th time, your flesh will be healed as white as snow. The Bible says that Naaman did that very thing. He obeyed the man of God. Naaman went down to the Jordan River. He dunked himself 7 times into that water. When he came up the 7th time, the Bible says that God made his flesh as white as snow. Wow, what a miracle. What a miracle. He was clean. He was clean. I thought about Naaman. I picture him going under the first time. He goes under the water. Remember, the preacher told him to go under 7 times. I think he went under once and he came up and he said, look at me. I still have the leprosy. Probably one of his assistants said, that's one. He went under again. He came up and he said, look at me. I still have the leprosy. Said, that's two. He went under again. He came back up the 3rd time. I still have leprosy. He went under again. He came back up. That's 4. He went under again. He came back up. That's 5. He went under again. He came back up. That's 6. He said, that's it. That's it. It's not going to happen. His assistant said, one more. One more, Naaman. You're going to have your flesh made white and clean and pure. One more. He probably went under and was going, boo, 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 boo. I don't know if I want to come up. Boo, 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 boo. A little fish came up to him and said, Naaman, go for it, baby. You're going to die down here. Come on up. There's jaws in the water. Ah! He came up. He looked at his skin and said, look. Look at that. I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. Oh, it's so wonderful. I have my skin is clean. I'm not going to die from leprosy. I think he was excited. I think he went down to the doctor who had said, you're going to die, sucker. You're going to die. You're going to die. Just keep giving me your money. You're going to die. Hey, the people that owned the funeral home, they had already measured him up. They already knew what kind of casket they were going to sell him. The church choir was already picking which song they were going to sing to mourn. I think he went to the choir and said, nah, 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 nah. I'm not going to die. I am clean. Oh, boy, what a miracle. That happened. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 14, says he came up out of the water and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What a miracle. What a miracle. How many of you believe that miracle? Wow, it's in the Bible, sure. I wonder, you really believe that miracle? then why don't you stop and appreciate that when you got saved, God cleaned you? He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Bible says when you come to Jesus Christ and get saved, He forgives you of your sins. He forgives you of your sins. Bible says when you come to Jesus Christ to get saved, He places your sins in the bottom of the deepest sea. The Bible says He places your sins behind His back. Now, if they're behind His back when He's looking that way, and you turn around, they're then behind His back when you're looking that way. If you look this way, they're still behind His back. And if you look that way, they're still behind His back. You see, He said, I'll put your sins behind my back. I will remember them no more. In other words, God said, first of all, I'll put your sins in the deepest sea. Secondly, I'll put them behind my back. Thirdly, I'll remember them no more. God gets amnesia. He gets amnesia. You go to God and say, God, you remember that sin I committed 5 years ago? He's saying, it's about the fifth time you've talked to me about that. I don't remember it. I don't remember it. I put that behind me. I don't remember it. The Bible teaches when you get saved, He'll put your sins as far as the east is from the west. That's what the Bible says. Now you say, oh, I believe in the cleansing of Naaman. I believe that Naaman, when he was made clean and white, he had the flesh of a little child. I don't think you really believe it. Because if you really believed it, some of you would get out of the mullet grubs about your past sins and realize He did the same thing for you when He saved you. He cleaned you up. Quit letting the sins of your past haunt and ruin your today. I'll tell you something. If there's one thing that I have done to keep my ministry fresh and alive and to keep me in the ministry, it's this. I believe in the forgiveness of God. I believe in the forgiveness of God. If I go to God and say, God, forgive me of my sin, I believe He does. I believe He puts my sins as far as the east is from the west. I believe He puts my sins in the deepest sea. I believe He puts my sins behind His back. I believe He then forgets where He put them. It's like someone, hey, you know something that's good? It's good. When you get Alzheimer's, you can hide your own Easter eggs. If you went to God today and said, what about Jeff Owens' sins of last Tuesday? I confess my sins of last Tuesday. He'd say, what do you mean sins of last Tuesday? What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. It's time for some of you. You say, sure, I believe that Naaman was cleansed. It's time for some of you to realize the day that Jesus Christ saved your sin, cursed, wicked soul. He saved you. He set you on a solid rock. He said, let's forget about what's already transpired. Let's get on to a new life. There are people in this church, you're not doing anything for God with your life because the devil keeps coming to you and saying, hey, what about last week? Hey, what about last month? Hey, what about last year? How about that dumb thing that you did? How about when you just about totally destroyed your life and the devil's got you and he shows that to you and he says, you ought to get down. You ought to get depressed. You shouldn't do anything for God. Well, let me give you some good news today. The devil's a liar. You forget about it. You ask God to forgive you and you get on and do something for God with your life. Time for some of you to stop using your past as an excuse for doing nothing for God in your present and dead sure nothing for God in your future. Hey, let's behave like people who have received a miracle. If you were once lost, which you were, when you got saved, you're like a dead man resurrected. Won't you believe the miracle you have? Won't you stop and realize every piece of food you put in your mouth was multiplied by the same God that fed 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fish? Hey, why don't you say, well, Brother Owens, I believe it. I believe Naaman was cleansed. If you really believe Naaman was cleansed, maybe you ought to believe the cleansing that God gave you at salvation. And decide, I want to be clean. Let's all behave like people who have received the miracle of salvation and a fresh start and a new beginning with God. I wonder, would you believe that Jesus healed a blind man so that he could see? There's a man in John chapter 9. The Bible says the man had been blind from birth. As he was there, Jesus came up and Jesus spat on the ground. Jesus picked up that spittle, that mud. He anointed the blind man's eyes. After he anointed the blind man's eyes, the Bible says, Jesus said, now you go wash in the pool. When you go wash in the pool, you'll come seeing. That man, he had that mud in his eyes. He made his way over to the pool. When he washed his eyes in the pool, The Bible says he opened up his eyes and he could see. I'm going to tell you something. I'll guarantee you that was one excited Christian. That was not a humdrum, who cares kind of a Christian. Maybe I'm going to church, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll serve God, maybe I won't. Everything's going wrong for me. No, I'll tell you what I think happened to him. I think he opened one eye and went, wow, wow, wow. He opened the other one and said, wow, 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 look at this. Oh, this must be a flower. This must be a tree. Oh, look at that. Oh, my. Look, that must be, I've heard the dog bark before, but I've never seen one. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this must be my wife. I wish I were blind again. I'll guarantee he is excited about most things. How many of you believe that Jesus made that blind man see? Raise your hand. Oh, you do? Huh. I wonder. Do you really? I wonder. I was thinking, Mrs. Owens and I, we were working in the yard yesterday. And what are those flowers that are coming up all over the yard? Dandelions? Daffodils. I knew it started with a D. We had daffodils coming up everywhere. And they're so beautiful. All of a sudden, I thought she'd seen a snake. She said, oh, honey, come here, come here. So I went over, and there was a daffodil that had three little flowers coming out of one little stem. It, you know, to me, it looked like mutant daffodils, you know. But to Mrs. Owen, she said, I've never seen one like this. Look at the color. I've never seen three come out of one stem. Isn't that fantastic? I imagine when that blind man, hey, and I got to tell you this. If you were here about a year ago, my wife and I were sharing in the front yard the planting of mums, lots of mums. Matter of fact, the only fuss my wife and I have had since we came to West Virginia was over those mums. I was planting mums, and we don't have dirt at our house. We have shale. And I was out there breaking my back, and she was talking to the neighbor later about something that didn't mean a thing. About an hour and a half, I dug about 40 holes for all her stupid mum plants. So I popped them in there, filling them all up. She came out after I got them all done, and she said, honey, they're too close together. Boy, I throw the shovel on the ground, said, and you move them apart. I went to the house. You know something? I think we planted about 60 mums altogether. Do you know how many of them are coming up this year? One. I dug 60 holes through that cement kingdom. Trying to plant him stupid plants. I got mad, lost my testimony, threw the shovel down for one stupid mum. Now I got that off my chest. I think when that blind man saw, when he looked out at the flowers and looked at the trees and he looked at the sun, he was so excited. He was running around. He was looking at everybody. He'd say, talk. They'd talk. He said, I know who you are. He would hear sounds. He would look at things. He was having such a wonderful time. You know, and he said, I believe it, Brother Owens. I believe it. Well, do you stop and believe and appreciate the fact that when you were saved, God took away spiritual blinders and gave you insight to the Word of God? You were spiritually blind. A preacher would get up and preach some of the things I preach, and you'd sit out there before you got saved and say, I ain't like him. I think his church service ought to be boring and drab. You should not be smiling, and this is not even holy. What do you know about holiness? But you were blind. So I don't like that. Well, how spiritual are you? But I'll tell you this, when you got saved, God popped those blinders off of your eyes. And some of you got to think, you know, this isn't so bad. God started helping you with the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. The people that are blindest in this auditorium are the ones that are furthest away from God. Guarantee it. And the ones that are permanently blind are the ones that have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You walk out and say, well, I don't think that's how it ought to be. You don't even know how it ought to be. You don't even know the one who made it how it ought to be. The Savior. Oh, but when you were lost and on your way to hell, you had spiritual blinders on your eyes. You could not see. You thought the way to get to heaven was maybe go out and do a good deed or give some of your money or get into the baptistry or speak in tongues, and not one little lick of that will ever get you to heaven. The only thing that will ever get you to heaven is trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the day you did that, those old blinders popped off your eyes, and you said, wow, what a wonderful thing He's done for me. But He has given you spiritual sight so you can see the Word of God and live it. We sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. He gave you spiritual sight so you could get into a spiritual book and begin to live a spiritual life. Now let me ask you something. You say, yes, I believe He made the blind to see. Well, He opened up your spiritual eyes for one reason, so you could take your eyes and read that book. Now let me ask you something. Have you... People in here don't even read your Bible. You'll come in this auditorium, you'll criticize me. I read my Bible every day, hours and hours on end all my life. I know what that book says. You won't even read your Bible. Come in here and criticize me about what I know about the Bible. God took the spiritual blinder off of your eyes so you could read the Bible. I'm going to preach a sermon before long about the belief in the Bible. I wonder, do you literally believe the Bible? Or a bunch of you are religious. Do you really believe the Bible? Every word of it. Every part of it is important. Are you just religious? You get a little bit of religion. You don't want all religion. You pick out a few words in the Bible you believe, but you don't believe at all. Now, He took those blinders off of your eyes so you could look at it. Now, you get your Bible out and you read it. Oh, I don't believe a blind man was made to see. Hey, you were once blind. Now, you're made to see. What are you doing with the spiritual sight He gave you? New Christian, you can understand the Bible. You can understand the Bible. It's there for you to understand. Believe the miracle you have. Hey, let's all behave ourselves like people that have received a miracle. You once were blind. You now can see. I'll tell you something. If listen to this. If I were blind and a man walked up to me, he said, I can give you your sight. Everybody else had failed. And he came to me. He said, I'm going to give you your sight. And as soon as I get done giving you your sight, I have written a book. And I want you to use the rest of your life reading the book that I've written. I'm going to give you your eyes so you can read the book that I've written. And I'll tell you something. The minute I got saved and He opened my spiritual eyes, I would not bring the book in on Sunday to church and then walk home and throw it on the coffee table and leave it all week long. I would read about that man every day of my life. I'd believe everything that man said. I'd live anything he wanted me to live because I once was blind. I now can see. What a wonderful thing. You say you believe it. Hey, would you believe that the Holy Spirit came upon Peter at Pentecost and 3,000 people were saved? Bible says in Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon Peter. Peter stood up and preached the gospel. All the people there, the Bible very clearly teaches, they heard the gospel in their own language. Their own language, that's what the Bible says. The power of God had come upon Peter as he preached. Those people could understand the gospel in their language. 3,000 people got saved. Had I been there on the day of Pentecost. Now, I'm not really an excitable person. I'm a thirsty person right now, but I'm not excited. Had I been there on the day of Pentecost, seeing all those people get saved, I think I would have ran with the ball for the rest of my life. I think I would have ran away from there saying, this is incredible. I've seen God come down in great power. I watched a man stand and preach and people being saved by the thousands. And there were 3,000 people baptized in one day. That'd take a lot of little blue Smurf suits to baptize them all. We use blue smocks here when we baptize. 3,000 of them. I think I would have walked away saying, I was there. We would have had T-shirts made. Been there, done that. Pentecost, 3,000 saved. Bought the T-shirt. I would have gone everywhere and told everybody. And there were some that did. There were some that did. There's some that walked away the day of Pentecost. And I believe in the New Testament Church of Jerusalem, there are approximately 65,000 people saved in the next 6 months as a result of the miracle that was performed the day of Pentecost. Would you believe it? What? How many of you believe that on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 plus people were saved? Raise your hand. Oh, you believe that? Good. Good. The Holy Spirit came and something happened. Did you know that when you got saved, the very same Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost came to live inside of you? Now, what's holding you up? If you really believe that the Spirit of God came upon Peter that day, and as a result of it, there were thousands of people saved, the very same Spirit of God that came upon Peter came into your life the day that you got saved, you have as much power available to you. Now let me ask you this. When was the last time you got anybody saved? Now you believe it, right? You told me you believe it. Who in the world, who in their right mind would believe they had the power of God on their life? Because same kind of power that Peter had to see 3,000 people saved would lock that power inside him and say, I'm not letting it out. I'm not letting it out. I wonder, you really believe? You really believe that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came and was sealed inside you? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13. You really believe it was the very same Holy Spirit that was sealed inside of Peter on the day of Pentecost? Did you really believe? Well, you better believe the miracle you have. I want a miracle service. We're having one. Boy, are we having a miracle service right now. I told you about the God that fed you this morning. I told you about the God that took the blinders off your eyes. I told you about the God that cleaned you up. Every one of them are miracles of God. Hey, would you have believed the miracle? Do you know there was a dying thief on the cross by Jesus Christ? Right before that dying thief died, he went to heaven. Hey, get this. You hear about the miracle invention? Didn't go very well. A blonde invented ejector seats for helicopters. It was a mess. Good idea, but didn't work out very well. Hey, you believe the miracle that you have? You really believe it? There was a thief dying on the cross by Jesus Christ. That thief realized he was a sinner, realized he needed to be saved. Started a conversation with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ turned that thief and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a miracle. A thief about to die, and Jesus saved him right before they died. I can tell you when that thief did die on that cross. That thief died on the cross, and before his body was cold in death, he opened up his eyes. And you know where he was? He was in paradise. He was in heaven. When he got to heaven, he opened his eyes and he said, did you see what just happened down there to me? The angels came over and said, oh, we don't totally understand it. We're not fallen beings. He said, I was the filthiest of nasty of nasty. I was a sinner. I deserved to go to hell. I was hanging there realizing I could see the flames. I could see the devil saying, come on. And that the fellow Jesus Christ, the king of this place, he turned to me and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He said, did you see it happen? Did you see what he did? I no sooner died. I opened up my eyes. I'm here with you guys. Hey, he is somebody. He is somebody. You know what? You want a miracle today? I'll offer you one. How about getting saved? We're having us a miracle service. Greatest miracle man will ever experience is the fact that he's a sinner and deserves to go to hell, and a holy God sent his son who died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you, and he will save your sin-cursed soul today. And there's some of you need it. There's a lady in this church. I've been here almost 2 solid years. I've, in the invitation, asked if you're born again, raise your hand. She's not raised her hand 1 time in 2 years. Ma'am, it's time for you to get saved, because I don't believe that you are. Nobody could sit under this kind of preaching for 2 years and never have 1 time admitted that they're saved. If you can't admit to it, you probably don't have it. You probably come from some religion, and you got a little religion pumped into you, but you never got Jesus into you. You got to get saved. Want a miracle? Hey, once you leave this church, they say, we were in a miracle service down at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We realized the miracle of what God does for us every day of our life. You say, I believe. Do you really? Maybe you ought to get saved. Get saved. I believe in miracles. The girl sang it earlier. I serve a God of miracles. I serve a God who cares. I claim my miracles every day. Won't you stop and get this? There's some of you, I need a miracle from God, Brother Owens. He gives the big, amazing miracles most to the ones who are amazed with the little ones every day. The average human being only comes to God when they're in a jam or a mess, and they say, I believe in you. I tell you what, I wake up believing in him, go to sleep believing in him every day, and I happen to believe if I needed a great, big, old, gigantic miracle, he'd say, buddy, you deserve one because you notice all the little ones I've been giving you all along the way. So be it. I'll give you what you need. But you live your life. You only come to him like a credit card. He says, I need a big miracle, God. Why don't you realize the miracle you have? Believe the miracle that you have. And then if you needed a miracle, I think he'd give you one. But you need to start believing the miracle you have. Father Abraham, send somebody from the dead. I have five brethren. They need to be saved. And if you would send somebody from the dead, my brethren, they would be saved. They would believe that miracle. And Abraham said, they have the Bible. They're going to believe the Bible. They're going to believe some miracle. Let them believe the miracle they have. They have the Bible. Believe the miracle that you have.
Let's bow our heads.
Close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.